Welcome to the Lance Wallnau Show. Today's show is sponsored by Birch Gold. Visit lancewallnau.com/birch. Wait until you hear what happened at our latest live event. Lance is bringing down the house. Let's jump in.
Well, amazing Bible verses for the end times. Okay. That's a great story. I saw that and I said, that's really good. You know, I made it up and I said, that's really good. I want to go hear that. That's me. All right, so I want to give you the real quick. The Bible prophetically, people are all inquiring, as I understand, what's going to happen with America, what's going to happen. You remember, you ought to be poised on the edge of a certain degree of anxiety once you're awakened to how corrupt our government is. If you have any modicum of discerning, you realize Donald Trump got hit with an $83 million lawsuit for a crime involving a woman he never met, followed by $350 million that's going to put him out of business in New York and try to keep him from being able to function in New York, and has reached into his children's bank account. Whatever money they saved, they all got $3 to $4 million sucked out of them, Eric and Donnie. All vindictive, all based on a political operation that is designed to destroy him. And then there's also prison sentences that are attached to this stuff. So, and I won't expose names, but a whole bunch of prophets have been prophesying all kinds of stuff way back in the beginning with the New York case. Oh, this is going to just be exposure of the left and it's going to backfire. Not so far. And this thing that was supposed to be a slam dunk for Trump is not looking so good. So I'm looking at all that and I'm saying, well, now I hang out. I do not do it as much as I used to, but I would be numbered with all the prophets. Everybody's all peppering all the time what's going to happen. And unfortunately, prophets will prophesy even if they're not supposed to, because you put a demand on them and that's what feeds the machine. Then they got to come up with something. So they're creating vaporware, prophecies that are abstract and hard to read, almost like a Rorschach test. You got to figure out what it meant. And then if something happens, they go back and say, this is what I said. And people are naive. So the church is in a very confused place right now. And I believe personally, God is not speaking about who the next president is, even though people are all prophesying whatever they come up with. And there's a reason for that. Because the issue prophetically between God and America isn't who gets elected. If you ask the wrong question, typically God will redirect you to a different question. He doesn't answer the wrong question. So what is really going on in America? Well, America's hanging in the balance right now. So what's going to happen? We have enough wrong with us so that we could be justifiably judged, but there's enough that is yet right in America that is rising up that mercy can be extended rather than judgment. My expectation is I believe that God's going to extend mercy to America, but I believe he's going to do it because of the nations. I was in Jerusalem standing there. I said, Lord, what's going to happen in America? It's funny, I had to go to Israel to hear God talk about America. But I was down there right before Hamas attacked, and I was down there preaching, had like 100 different nations in front of us doing a leadership event. And I stood there, and the Lord said, it is my desire to give you, basically it would be Trump, would be able to be successful. It is my desire to be able to do that not for the United States, it's for the nations, because America becomes a restraining force on the acceleration of the unraveling of the global order. So we keep going the direction we're going in. We're feeding our own destruction. Every decision our State Department makes is stupid. It's almost like it's drunk people making choices on running a business. Everything they're doing is ruining the business. Trump would be a cessation of that. He would be an immediate stop to the self-destruction. It would be an immediate stabilizer in terms of the degree to which lawlessness and chaos and disruption can happen globally. Now, I'm giving that to you for a reason. Because we have to start looking beyond our own personal portfolio, even beyond the United States and who's going to be president, into what is God doing in our day, in our lifetime, among the nations. What's the agenda of heaven? Because thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven might be bigger than you and bigger than the United States. It might be a global situation. So having said that, it's curious to me that for the last couple of years, I mean, I wrote this in 2016. I wrote it again in 2019. I only wrote two books. In both books, I have the same thing. God says in Haggai, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. It's just two chapters. God says, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken, but God is going to raise up Cyrus rulers in the earth. And those rulers are going to be raised up not just in the United States, but you see it in Hungary, you see it now in El Salvador. And we have to learn, if you don't learn to look for this information, it could go right past you, you could miss it, it's right in front of your face. The president of El Salvador, for instance, who built a max prison, and then went out and rounded up all of the MS-13 gangs and criminals and put them all in the max prison. Now El Salvador is the safest nation in all of South America. Now it's the safest place to invest your money in all of South America because corruption and criminal cartels have been eradicated and locked up, all by a president who just got elected. How did that guy get elected? Curiously enough, he's a Christian businessman in the marketplace. And a prophet came to him and said to him, the Lord says, you're supposed to run for office to be president. He said, yeah, right. Second prophet came. Didn't know the first one. Said, the Lord sent me to tell you that you're supposed to run for office to be president. Now he's getting a little concerned. He's thinking, maybe God's talking to me. A third prophet came and said, the Lord has already spoken to you. You do not want to be the man God sends a fourth prophet to. And the fear of God hit him. And he starts arguing with the third prophet. He said, you don't understand, I'm a businessman. This country is so screwed up. Both parties are equally corrupt. I couldn't work in either party and get elected, and I couldn't govern if I did get elected. The prophet said, it's up to you to figure out how to get it done. God's told you what to do. He said, the only way it's possible is if I wrote my name down on a piece of paper and supernaturally I got elected. Well, he wrote his name down on a piece of paper, submitted himself. He got enough signatures to get on a ballot. He got enough votes to become president because the whole country knows both parties are corrupt. Now, he's what you call a Cyrus ruler. El Salvador, can a nation be born in a day? Overnight, virtually, you have a sheep nation in the middle of a corrupt swamp of Central America. Why am I saying this to you? Because Viktor Orban is a sheep nation, Cyrus shepherd. Bible says in Isaiah 44 and 45, Cyrus is my shepherd. God raises up Cyrus rulers. These are secular rulers or Christian rulers who come out of the marketplace or government who are raised up as an answer to the prayers of God's people. The problem is, here's how I remember Chuck Missler taught me this. The Bible has patterns. So if I was to say to you 2, 4, 6, what's the next number? Because you see the pattern. So while I'm dubious about God talking prophetically to people about specific stuff regarding the next election right now, and I'll tell you why. Because most of them are focusing on Donald Trump. What they're not doing is looking at the prophetic pattern of what God is doing in the earth right now. And if you don't see what the prophetic pattern is, then an event, if Trump doesn't get elected, if it's stolen again, if something happens to him on the way to the election, well, then you need to know what the pattern is, because the pattern is already established. So if I say A, B, C, what's next? So if you could see the prophetic pattern, you can anticipate what's coming next. And that's what's helped me to be very accurate in terms of what I'm predicting or what I'm saying, because my analysis of things that are taking place is based upon a pattern.
I want to take a moment to talk about the volatile financial time that we're in. And I want you to empower yourself with knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. Visit lancewalmont.com/birch and get a free information kit. Consider discussing how to shift your 401k or your retirement account into a tax-sheltered gold and silver account. Why don't you go to lancewalmont.com/birch right now and take action for a secure future.
Here's what I got from Chuck Missler. He said this. He said, one of the great signs of our time was in 1948 when Israel became a nation again. And the reason why that is such a great sign is you have a country that has been dispersed all over the world for 2,000 years. It's not even in its original real estate. It's boom, all over the globe. All these different languages, all these different customs, 2,000 years. This little tribe has been dispersed. And all of a sudden, 1947, they all come back to real estate and it's still not been developed and fully occupied. The land is still there. They come back and they are all speaking the same language, practicing the same religion, believing the same things, get together, boom, on day one, the nation is reformed. From Missler's perspective, it's the greatest miracle of the last 100 years that happened in the secular world. That you could have a people group scattered around the world that comes back, boom, to the same real estate and picks up where they left off 2,000 years later. That's the miracle of Israel. So here's what Missler said. 1948, look at the pattern of exactly what happened when the Jews came back to their land in the Bible. Because what happened then in the Old Testament is the pattern for prophetically what's going to happen when Israel comes back. In other words, and most people haven't caught this yet, what happened when Jeremiah prophesied 70 years in Babylon, but then Daniel the intercessor prays in Babylon, Jeremiah the prophet had prophesied, Isaiah prophesied 100 years before Cyrus was born, thus says the Lord of Cyrus, my shepherd, gonna go through the two lead gates of Babylon, even predicts the city that at the time it was prophesied was not even a significant city. So the prophecies were all lined up for Cyrus to come. And the reason why Cyrus is important, and I'm talking about Cyrus rulers, is because I believe Missler is correct. The prophetic pattern that happened when Cyrus was raised up by God is exactly the pattern that's taking place right now. So if that is true, we should look at what was the pattern that took place. Doesn't that make sense? Because I might be looking at the news before it happens, which is what I believe is happening. So Missler said, watch the pattern. So I started studying the pattern. It takes me to Haggai. Because Cyrus comes along, and God can send a Cyrus ruler. My opinion, I don't think the church knew what to do when Trump showed up. The church went back to business as usual. Here you had a ruler who was willing to take as much ground as the church was willing to occupy. But the church was preoccupied with analyzing his tweet structures and critiquing his personality. So rather than doing anything, we just watched. It's kind of like a game, popcorn. What's he doing now? Cyrus tells the Jews, go back. You need to rebuild your house. And so you have the house of God is the main focus. Dare I say that I think God gave us a reprieve so that the house of God, which is the ecclesia, could begin to expand itself to become an occupational force in America. For instance, Trump is looking at the academic mountain. He's saying, this woke theology, this woke teaching is getting in. Marxism is getting into your universities. You don't even have conservative professors anymore. I'll cut off government funding to every one of these woke universities until they have real diversity, which includes a biblical worldview or a conservative worldview presented by professors to students. Why should these become indoctrination propaganda factories for the next generation of Marxists with their weird queer theory? Well, I can tell you what happened. Nothing. Because the church wasn't ready or interested or mobilized and didn't care. Truth be known, Christians have their own subculture. They have their own Bible colleges, their own this or that. So the world does this and we do that. We missed a golden opportunity. And I'm not saying it had to be a Christian thing. I'm just saying when you got 50 million people, if they would all recognize the opportunity God is giving them, they don't have to lose what God gave them as an inheritance if they would just discern it and move in unity. But Cyrus tells them, build the house, but they didn't build the house. You know, they did just like us. It was like a long period of time, 17 years, I think. For 17 years, the people of God, it was such a big job and so ugly and so much resistance that they all focused on building their own houses. So what we have is people building their own 401ks, their own ministry, their own this, their own that. Churches are growing. Churches are planting under Trump. We had a booming 4 years of economic stability. China's backed up. Russia wasn't doing anything. Iran was on the verge of bankruptcy. You have the Abraham Accords establishing peace in the Middle East. It's an amazing 4 years considering the deep state was trying to impeach him twice. Nevertheless, I look at COVID as a fascinating moment. Because what did God shut down? Everything, including the church. It's almost as though the Lord said what Haggai said. Is this a time for you to be focused on building your own house and your own ministry when my own ecclesia is lying in ruins? When my church is an occupational force for the shaping of nations, it's not on its feet? Is this a time for you really to be focusing on you when I've done all this so that I could see my kingdom go forth and become manifest? I'm just suggesting to you, this is totally different narrative than you're accustomed to, but it fits with what Cousin Billy was saying. What if God is talking to us about something and our comfort zone keeps wanting to retreat to the church the way we've known it? Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, the gates of hell are doing a great job because the church doesn't show up where the gates of hell are located. Where are those gates located? They're located at the top of the mountains. They're located at the top right now, the Department of Justice. They're located at the top of the Department of Defense. They're located at the top of the FBI. That's just the government mountain. We can go over to the academic mountain and see how transgender ideology is being crammed down the throats of not only the college students, but it's working its way down to the 11-year-old and the 10-year-old in your own schools. And Colorado's one of the worst. The gates of hell are where the gates of influence congregate. Satan focuses on the gates. Wherever there's influence, hell wants to control it. So if it's a Supreme Court, big deal. If it's Hollywood with an Academy Award-winning movie, you bet hell wants to control the distribution of movies. Wherever there's influence, hell has invested in it. So those seven mountains becomes a really interesting picture, because if you really look at those seven mountains, as I do, then you realize the top of those structures, if they are occupied by a hostile ideology, they will lock down the church and shut down your freedom of speech, and they will punish you for your opinion if it isn't what the party line wants. The only way you can have freedom, the only way America can have the freedom it wants and is its birthright, is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The church better show up where those gates are located. So I'm suggesting to you that part of the pattern is God will give us rulers, kind of like in Hungary or in El Salvador or in all of Eastern Europe right now, is the secret to redeeming Western Europe. Western Europe has all gone woke. Eastern Europe, which came out of communism, has a greater appreciation for Christian freedom than Paris or Italy or Berlin. That's why Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, these are the countries that are actually resiliently defying losing their identity and having runaway immigration redefining their culture. They're fighting back on the gay agenda, and they literally kicked Soros out of Hungary. Cyrus rulers with a church that is occupying the spheres of influence. See how that works? So I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The rulers and then a reconstituted, invigorated, and muscularly deployed ecclesia that is going into the marketplace. See why you're a movement is because you move out into the marketplace, just like that El Salvador business guy ended up becoming president. So the church over here, it's very important. The church over here is going to be getting a lot of prophecy in Haggai. In Haggai, you're going to see Joshua, the high priest, is targeted and told, stand up, be strong. Get the house of God, the spiritual vitality of the people of God, back on track. And the other part of the word goes to, curiously enough, to Zerubbabel, who is the governor. And God tells him, you in the marketplace, you in the influence outside of the temple, you're the one I've got an anointing on to have a plumb line to be able to build right in all these areas. You're going to restore the house of God and the influence of God in Jerusalem. So Zerubbabel and Joshua become the two that are prophesied to by the prophet. What do you have? You have a very curious combination. You have the prophetic voice speaking to government and speaking to the church. And when those three things come together, you've got a coalition of influence that can bring reformation to where the river of God is going. So then the Spirit of the Lord speaks in this first chapter. As Zerubbabel is hearing the word of the Lord, you can see it here. You can find the verse. Take a look at it. It says here in chapter 1, verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, says the Lord. So they stirred up. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the remnant. Notice, it's not the majority, it's a remnant. You know why? The majority of the Jews did not go back to go rebuild the house. They were comfortable staying where they were. The Jews did not go. A remnant went. And it's that way. A remnant moves on with God. But a remnant that went down, it was such a big building project that they gave up until the prophet went and gave him a kick in the butt and said, no, don't you realize that I'm actually putting pressure on you economically right now until you do what I've told you to do. The Lord said, didn't you notice that you got bags with holes in it when it comes to your money? In other words, God was dealing with their economy in order to get them to reprioritize his will. Well, they repented, and the Bible says, watch this. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the high priest and the remnant began to go to work. That word stir is interesting. It's a two-letter word. It's U-R-R. You know what that word is? In Hebrew, it means awaken. So we're all praying for a great awakening. You ever thought about where that awakening is? We keep thinking it's going to be a big revival. Rodney Howard Brown, Miracle Service, Toronto, Brownsville, people falling down on the carpet, unsaved people coming to Jesus by the droves. Maybe not. Because the pattern is when Zerubbabel and Joshua and the remnant actually heard the word of the Lord, God sent the awakening. He stirred up that spirit. And the Bible says that they suddenly had vision. They had insight. It's another meaning of the word. They had insight that stirred them, and the awakening came upon who? The people that were in God's building project. Those who were involved with what the Father was doing came alive.
What happens if a natural disaster takes place? We have these weird tornadoes that hit in the Midwest and in Texas, but look at the hurricanes in Florida. People can literally have their houses flooded, or they're in a situation where they have no food or access to groceries. Everyone needs at least a four-week emergency food kit. And fortunately, My Patriot Supply has created a four-week emergency kit. And these products will last for 25 years. The interesting thing is they give you a 2,000 calorie per day meal. And that's the key, delicious and 2,000 calories a day, because that's what you're going to need to sustain yourself for 4 weeks in a crisis. We had a winter freeze here in Texas, of all places. And we had a couple of days where we had no electricity. I'm telling you something, this makes a huge difference. Mushroom rice pilaf, fluffy rice and mushrooms, seasoned with red wine and herb. And then how about starting the day off? Maple Grove oatmeal, old-fashioned oats, maple flavoring with a pinch of brown sugar. This is what you want to do. 4 week emergency food kit, and that's just for you. Think about your children. Guaranteed, somebody around you is going to need help. You're going to want to at least have the 4 week emergency kit. Go to lancewalnut.com/patriot. Use that link and you're going to get a special discount on their special 4 week emergency kit promotion.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.